Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence in this place. Lord, once again, I recognize my inabilities, weakness, and frailties, and I ask you for fresh mercy. Mercy so that, Lord, you will be able to do all of your will in spite of me. Help me, Lord, so that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water. I ask and receive, under covering of my Father's, fresh mercy, fresh unction and anointing, so your word will come with power. It will come with simplicity and with clarity. It will come in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And it will accomplish an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds to be further illuminated with the revelation light of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, enabling us to be doers of all the things that we learn and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, Lord, under the covering of our fathers, let yokes be broken, let blind eyes be open, let deaf ears be unstopped. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, so we will leap and walk and go deeper into the temple, even in your presence, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy to enable me to be faithful. Help me to be concise, to be precise, to redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, but being a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, speaking with precision, bringing out of the treasure of your word the things both new and old according to your will. Let your name be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, we were last lesson, we were in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25, and then we crossed over into chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And we saw in our last lesson that God's intention is for our words and our actions to reflect Him. God wants our very lives, our relationships, to reflect Him. Talking about husband and wife, talking about children, talking about servants and masters. And that's where we ended in our last lesson. Lord took that file as servants and masters. So our relationships, our work must reflect who we are. It must reflect Christ in all we do. The same way the Lord Jesus Christ reflected Him. In verse 17, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants His name to be seen in our words. Amen? He wants His name to be seen in our actions. So the Bible says that I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. So really, God wants to walk in you and I. He wants to dwell in us so that the world will see Him in and through us. Like Jesus said, you know, Philip said, show us the Father. He said, how can you say, show us the Father? You have already seen the Father in me. Amen? And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. Amen? That's the will of God for us. And we saw in our last lesson that we do this by serving God from the heart. Everybody say, from the heart. It's not from the head. God will help us in Jesus' name. It's from the heart. And how do we serve God from the heart? We do it first with an attitude of reverence to God, and then reverence to your boss or your those in secular authority over you. You must have reverence, honor, respect, you know, deep respect for them. And that reverence is from the heart. You do it, you reverence them in the fear of God, recognizing, like the Bible tells us in that portion of scripture, you know, that it is God that has set them in authority over you. So even though you are serving them, you are serving God. Our service is actually unto God through man. Amen. And it's also important to understand that we mentioned this in our last lesson, that we also serve God by praying fervently in the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verse 9 that my God whom I serve with my spirit. That means we must pray about our work. We must pray about our relationships. Amen. Pray about your children. Pray for your children. Pray for your spouses. Pray for the people that you're involved with, because those relationships are important to God. And God wants to use us as a means of reaching out to them. Amen. There's God in you. Okay? And God wants that God in to stretch out through what you say, through what you think, through what you do. Amen. We saw that in our last lesson. The next thing we saw is that what is at stake? We saw this in verse 24, Colossians 3:24. What is at stake is our inheritance. What is at stake when we're working is not necessarily promotion or your success of a career. That's part of it. But what in God's mind, in God's eyes, what really is at stake is the reward of the inheritance. Your faithfulness to man will be used as an indicator of how soon you can receive your inheritance, or if you receive it at all. The Bible says here, knowing of the Lord that you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So you can't live by the world standard. Amen. I can't live by the world standard. We must live by the divine standard and make sure that we are serving God in the spirit. We are serving God with an attitude of humility, of obedience. And these things reflect in everything that we do. Amen. So what we are serving is to receive and manifest the spirit without measure. We are not serving, you know, for personal promotion. That's not our primary reason. Now, promotion will come as a consequence of service. Amen. It came for Daniel. It came for Joseph. Amen. Even though Joseph's was the other way around. Instead of going up, he went down. But was promotion in the spirit. Amen. And so he was being promoted in the spirit. But in the physical, it looked like he was going backwards. But so you must understand. But when it suited God, after 2 full years, after interpreting the dream of the butler and the baker, it pleased God to restore and give him back the reward of the inheritance. Amen. And when he got that position, he had the inheritance as an equipment to function in that position. But then we're going to function in our positions by the inheritance. It's by the power of the Spirit without measure is the way by which we're going to be able to function in the place God is taking us to. Amen. So it's important we must serve him in such a way that we understand that that's what we need. That's where we're going. We're not going to be, so when you're at work, you're not going to be at work, you know, to promote one faction over another. You know, the politics of the office, you know, you're not there to enrich yourself at the government's expense or at your boss's expense. No, brethren, we are not there to edge people out to prove a point. I want to prove to you that I can deal with you in this office and I will delay your promotion. That's not why you're there. You are there so that we can see Christ in you, and then you can also, as it were, grow up until the point where God can entrust, as you walk in love, entrust the reward of the inheritance to you and then promote you. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. The next thing we saw was that service is training ground for sonship. And we must learn to serve with humility, with faithfulness, and loyalty. We saw that, and we gave an example of the president of the African Development Bank, who is a dear friend. His wife himself and his wife are dear friends of our spiritual fathers, you know. And we saw his example. He worked at Green Revolution for Africa. He worked at Rockefeller Foundation. He worked at several over a 20-year period. Then it pleased them, that was in October, late October, to give him the World Food Prize. You know, it's God that promotes. You know, service is honorable. It's not until you are the first in your business that you are a big man. No. It's not even about being a big man. It's about fulfilling the reward of the inheritance. It's about getting the reward of inheritance. You know, so, you know, when you serve and you are faithful, it is preparing us for sonship, which is where God is taking us to. Amen. So we must learn to be faithful and loyal to those who we are working for. Amen. Now, this must show in your punctuality, in the use of your time. What you use your time for when you are at the office, you must give them their time because they are paying for it. Amen. We saw that I'm not going to go into that again. We also saw that you must have excellent quality of work. Your work must speak. Okay? Your work must speak of the fact that your work is precise, your work is good quality. Amen. And then you must also serve with a humble attitude to take correction well when you are corrected. You are not above correction. Amen. Amen. So when we are corrected, we must take correction well. Don't expect to be treated differently. No. What goes for everybody else goes for you. So you yourself, humble yourself. Already have that mindset that I am under, even if you're in charge of people, I myself am a man under authority. Amen. And you walk in the light of that so that, you know, grace can be made available to you to function effectively in the role that God has given us. Amen. All right. And we also saw that it's important to use every challenge that comes our way to grow in divine love. We saw this in the last lesson when we talked about in Psalm 84. It talks about the fact that God will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And what did we brought out? That God has released the grace of the Spirit without measure upon the earth. It's already there on the earth. But the situations that come against us, the challenges that we face, we are supposed to use that grace to be able to walk in love so that it will now work for glory. Amen. So the connection between grace and glory is divine love. Amen. And the more we walk in the love of God, the more it brings glory back unto Him. When we walk in love, God is glorified. Bible says, I am glorified when you bring forth much fruit. So as we walk in love and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, glory goes back to God. Amen. And then finally, in Galatians 4:1-2, we saw that employers of labor must be considerate and fair, because we also have a master God. Okay. And then in verse 2, we saw that a consistent lifestyle of fervent prayer is the foundation for all these things we're talking about. Excellence in character, excellence in service. The backbone of it is prayer. Amen. Prayer, with all types of prayer. And it is maintained by an attitude of gratitude. Amen. You know, it says there, watch in the same. So it's something you watch. Where do you watch? In our mind. We watch in the same with thanksgiving. We give thanks to God. So frequently, we give thanks to God, recognizing that it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Brethren, as we serve God, you know, God doesn't just want us to serve Him. He actually wants us to become like Him. So as we serve Him, He begins to turn our heart back towards Himself. Amen? In humility. So that then, you know, beyond the service, you come to a place of knowing God. That's the ultimate. You know, the ultimate event, like Papa Ralph taught us, is to become it. So as we serve God, the ultimate God wants for us is to become like Him. Amen. And we do that as we serve Him in this manner that we've said, you know, faithfully, diligently, in the love of God, you know, allowing love to be our nature, our default response. Amen. And then God turns our hearts back to Himself. Amen. We're now going into Colossians chapter 4. We begin from verse 3 this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. From verse 3 says, let's read it together. With all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Next verse. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, what's he saying here? Give us verse 3. Verse 3. Thank you. As we pray, as we learn to pray, we learn to pray for ourselves. We learn to pray. First of all, it's important to mention that there are two different types of prayer, basically, like we've been taught by Pastor. The first thing is concentrated prayer. Everybody say concentrated prayer, and then intermittent prayer. Now, the concentrated prayer is the time of prayer that you set yourself apart. Bible says Jesus set himself apart for a while and was praying. You spend time with God in prayer. That's concentrated prayer. And then there's intermittent prayer, where you're praying in the middle of everything that you're doing. Amen. And we saw that Pastor has taught us this over and over again, but I'll just, because it's a Bible study, look at James chapter 5 verse 16. James 5:16. Let's read it together. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is concentrated prayer. Fervent, effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual means it's in line with the word of God. Okay? And fervent means that it's coming from a heart. You are fervent about your praying. You put your soul, your whole heart into the prayer. You're not just praying and then you're looking at your phone, or you're praying and you're talking to people, or you're praying and your mind is somewhere else. In that time, you are concentrated. That's why it's called concentrated. Your mind, your emotion, everything is involved in that time of prayer. Amen. All right. And then there is also intermittent prayer where, you know, you can be doing other things. Look at Jude chapter 20, verse 21. Let's read it. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So it takes mercy. Everybody say, it takes mercy to keep us praying all through the day. Amen. It takes mercy. You have to, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy. I acknowledge you for your mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. You know, and you think mercy, you hope in mercy, and you find that the Holy Spirit will prompt you, and you can pray all day long. Now, this lifestyle of prayer is extremely important, because as you are established in prayer, then God wants to begin to stretch you out. Amen? And so you, after praying for yourself, praying for your family, then you begin, God expects all of us to begin to start praying for the work of the ministry. Amen. Amen. It's not for some people, brethren. It's for everybody. Everybody is supposed to be able to be a part of what, and that's why I'm saying, with all, praying also for us. As with everything else that you're doing, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Somebody spoke the mystery of Christ to you and I. And for us to be able to allow that same message to go out, somebody must be involved in intercession. And this is why it's so critical. So intercession is key, because prayer is the currency of the kingdom. Like Pastor has taught us, there was a beautiful message on the economy of prayer. I know you need to check that message. I understand everything works by prayer. If it's not prayed, because you know the heavens belong to God, but the earth He has given to us, the sons of men. Amen. So really, the quality of prayer and the quantity of prayer limits the degree to which God can move. It's extremely important. That's why he was saying that we should do this. So you can see that this is extremely important, okay? If you look at 1 Timothy 2:1, talking about the quality of prayer, because that's important to mention. Let's read it. Say, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. It's very important. See, this thing must be done for all men. This is the quality of prayer. There's supplication where you're asking God for mercy. There is prayer where you're making a petition to God. There is intercessions or groaning where you're releasing the power of God. And there's thanksgiving. There are four different types of prayer. And for prayer to have the quality to be able to break through the heavens and allow the will of God to be done on earth as in heaven, it must be like this. Otherwise, we pray, but then we don't see the effect of our prayer. So the quality of prayer is extremely important. And, you know, it reminds me of the example that we've heard. Pastor Olubi has preached it. Papa Ralph has mentioned it too. About Father Nash and Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a great revivalist. You know, I think it's the 19th century, you know, and he had an intercessor, a man called Father Nash, who would go ahead of him, like a week ahead, you know, and just fast and pray, get a room in a hotel, you know, and then pray and pray. By the time the man of God is coming, there is the presence of God in the city or in the town. to the point where pubs will close down. Amen. People will be weeping on the street. I'm a sinner. Please pray for me. People will turn away from beer, turn away from vices. Those people will close shop. Why? God is in town. Amen. God is in town. And this is the will of God. Brethren, as we pray and take up prayer as a business, it's the business of the kingdom. As we take it up as a business, and walk right, as we live right and walk right, we will bring down the presence of God into everywhere where we are. You know, and as it were, holiness will rule. Righteousness will be the order of the day. Amen. And the revival that we're trusting God for will break out. It's a presence revival. A revival of the presence of God, of the power of God, touching people's hearts. The Holy Spirit being able to move because the whole air is saturated with the presence of God. This is the will of God, brethren. That's why he's telling us. So the stronghold of ignorance over mankind can only be broken by deep intercession from the Zion church, so that the mystery of God can be proclaimed by its servants. Look at Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, verse 6 to 9. Let's read again. And in this mountain, mountain refers to a place of prayer. We're talking about this type of prayer. This mountain of the Lord's house. Say, in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts do what? Make unto all people a feast of fat things. A feast of wines on the lees. Of fat things full of marrow. Of wines on the lees well refined. So God has made a feast of the mystery of the gospel. He's prepared the word. Next verse. And he will what? Destroy, again where? In this mountain. The face of the covering cast over all people. There is something over people's minds that doesn't allow, the Bible says, whom the God of this world has blinded. Okay? So, and the veil that is what? Spread over all nations. Next verse. Next verse. He will what? Swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Next verse. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will what? Save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We'll be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen. Intercession prepares people's hearts. It prepares the hearts of men. It opens the gates over a city, or over a place, or over a nation. Amen. And then it touches the hearts of the people in that gate, under the influence of that gate, so that when you now bring the word of God, it is sown on good ground, and you can get the response that God, the revival that God is expecting, that God expects from us. Amen. Amen. Also, if you look at Colossians 1:25. You see, again, this is Colossians 1, verse 25. So, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Next verse. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made what? Manifest. What did Paul say? He said that I may make it manifest. You know, it's now made manifest to the saints. Amen. Next verse. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in us, the hope of glory. We need to let men know that what they are living for is glory. To get the glory that Adam lost in the garden. Amen. That's why we're here. Amen. And then to allow that glory to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's the will of God. Okay, next verse 28. Whom we preach, warning. Is it some men? Only a few chosen? Every man. And teaching every man in all wisdom. That's the mystery. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is the will of God. Amen. So this is why prayer is important. The kingdom moves with prayer. Amen. The kingdom moves with prayer. So this is the clarion call. You know, and we thank God for our fathers in this house. You know, in this house, by the grace of God, you know, we have the Gideon's Band. Now, this Gideon's Band is for everybody. I say it's for everybody, brother. I didn't hear. I said it's for everybody. In the sense that as you grow and you are faithful in prayer, you are supposed to come to join. It's not for some special select few. Because God wants to make a soldier out of you. Amen. And because intercessors grow fastest, you know. You know, so as it's important that you understand that this is the going about the Father's business. This is the Father's business. So, I mean, as you grow, you need to check and make sure that, you know, I mean, you're praying, you can pray in your personal prayer life and all that. And once you're establishing that prayer, you know, then you need to come, you know, and start giving out and putting out something extra so that the kingdom of God can advance. Amen. Because it depends on all of us. The load has to be shared on everybody. Amen. And also, he says in this verse 4, he says that also withal for us, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. It's very important to recognize that the fathers, it takes God time to prepare spiritual fathers. A long time. Jesus was able to preach by age 12. Amen. But he wasn't a father yet. It took another 18 years. That's Jesus. It took David 21 years between the year where he was anointed and the year where he sat in Zion. 21 years. It takes time. That's why whenever you see a king, you know, Satan's strategy, because he knows that God needs that king to be able to direct the affairs according to his will. Because the king has the mind of God, which took time for him to prepare and to train him. It's very important that you understand that. So the Bible says in Matthew 26, smite the shepherd, and that's his strategy. He tried to do it. He always tries to go for the shepherd. So that once you get the shepherd, the sheep don't know what to do again. But he's failed in Jesus' name. Because when we pray, we also now take up praying for our fathers. And brethren, this is key. We did this yesterday. It was a beautiful time of prayer. Amen. You know, we have to pray for our fathers. It's enlightened self-interest. Because as you pray for them, you are ensuring that their lives, their testimony, because this is, I think, Satan wants to attack. He wants to attack their testimony. He wants to attack their lives. He wants to attack their utterances. He wants to attack those that are close to them. And we must tell him, no way, you can't do that. Is extremely critical so that they may make it manifest. Their lives will be manifest, their words will be manifest, and then they can go out and preach. Amen. Is this thing is a body ministry, it's a team thing. It's not for some, just a select few. And that's why God is making us say this, you know, so that we can understand that there is a ministry you are called to. It's a ministry of intercession. And God will enable us to be faithful in our ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 5. He says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Doing what? Redeeming the time. And this is very important. The Bible says that we need to tap into divine wisdom in our relationship with non-Christians. We need divine wisdom. It's not the kind of wisdom where you ostracize yourself from them. No, that's not what he's talking about. We must, first of all, it's important that we must not allow our relationship with them to affect us negatively. That's very important. That's what the Bible talks about, being unequally yoked. When your relationship with them is influencing you negatively. The Bible says evil communication does what? Corrupts good manners. That can happen. So that's why we must be very careful to make sure that in our relationship, you know, the purpose of our relationship with non-Christians is to ultimately bring them to Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you. Let's read together. To them that are without law, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. What does God want to do? He wants to gain them through our words, our conduct, through our actions, through our principles, through our example. God wants to minister to them so that they can come and see, how come you always do your own like this? How come you are always on time? How do you do it? It rained today and you are still here. Our lives must speak. Amen. And our lives will speak in Jesus' name. All right. So God is saying that we must, this is the purpose. The purpose is to ensure that you are making an impact on these people and you are influencing them and that they themselves are receptive. It's very important. You must be able to gauge it by yourself and see, is this thing receptive? Am I making an influence on this person? Is it a positive impact? Amen. It's very important so that you can decide what is going on, because these things are very important. So how do we do this? It's by relationship, an honest and close relationship with the Holy Spirit. We are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you are honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself to be able to be sure that, am I sure that I'm making an impact? So you must walk in love. You disarm them with kindness. Even though they are not Christians, you are inclusive in the things that are non-fundamental. You show them love. Amen? It's very important. You are fair. You know, and when you see that their motive is not pure, or you know, like you know, some people will say that, come and minister to me now. come and see me in my room. Come and minister to me. Why do you have to go to his room to minister to him? You know, that looks like a gross example, but you know, these things are important to ask ourselves. You know, why do you have to do that? Or what influence am I having on this person? So you must be careful, you know, in the amount of time that you spend with them. And make sure that you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide how much time you spend with them. That's extremely important. Amen. So once you understand the purpose for the relationship, then you follow that purpose for the relationship. Amen. And try and make sure that you are making an impact on them. You know, they're allowing God to be evident and set forth in your interactions with them so that they can see God in and through all you do. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 50 to 17. That's why it says they're redeeming the time. See, if it's not working, just withdraw. If you recognize the person is not open or the person has some ulterior motive, just you need to pray and just pray for them and allow the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts. Amen. Because it's not until you talk to everybody. Once you talk to a person, you know, you can tell where they are and just drop the seed and you move on. Amen. And you keep walking in love. Just drop the seed. You know, you don't have to have a close relationship with them. You have to be wise as a serpent. Amen. The Bible says, see then that you walk what? Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as... That's what he's saying. That you have to be circumspect. Check every step you take. Is this necessary? Why am I doing this? Next verse. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. There are influences in the air that would have you rather waste your time on something that is not important. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but what? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Amen. God will help us to understand his will in Jesus' name. So that you can understand what is important to God in the relationship, you know, and then follow that thing and make sure it comes to pass. Amen. Birth it. Bring it to come to pass. Amen. Verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Thank you, Holy Spirit. No, this is a big one. The Bible says that we should let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, what is he talking about here? Notice the trend of thought that is coming from the Holy Spirit. It is that we need to have a lifestyle of prayer. Amen. We need to have a lifestyle of prayer. We spoke about concentrated prayer. We spoke about intermittent prayer. Amen. And then we also spoke about the fact that you need to have, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. He said that in Colossians 3:16. So it's a combination of the two that is going to produce this result he's talking about here. Is that lifestyle of praying, which releases the grace of God. The grace there just talks about the life of God. The Bible talks about grace unto eternal life. Okay? So it's talking about the life of God. Pastor taught us that, which is the substance inside God that makes God God. Now that substance is the one that is transformed into power, spiritual power. Because there is no way we can control our speech without power. Look at James chapter 3, verse 8. Amen. James 3, verse 8. Let's look at it. Bible says the tongue is an unruly evil. It says the tongue, but the tongue can no man. It is an unruly evil. It is full of what? You didn't say it, oh. It is full of what? Deadly poison. Your tongue, my tongue. Everybody's tongue. This is how it is. No man can tame it. Means you can't tame it by physical means. You can't tame it by, okay, some psychological, let's do this, let's say this so many times. No. When under pressure, that thing inside, the poison inside, will come out. So how are we going to control our tongue? It is by spiritual power. It's by spiritual power. So let's go back to Colossians. That power coming out through a life of prayer. From the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So that righteousness coming from the blood of Jesus. You know, so we confess our sins. In Jesus' name we have life. We draw and receive the life of God. Then we pray fervently according to the word of God. Using the word of God. And our prayer does what? Avails much. So is that availing much? That controls the heart, which then manifests in the control of the speech. Amen. That's how it is, brethren. It says, season with salt. Season it with the word of God. No, you know, seasoning is something you put inside food to make it taste very well. Isn't it? To make you enjoy the food. Wow. This jollof rice, what did you put in it? The seasoning is number one. Okay? Right. So it's talking about seasoning. That you can put the word of God in your heart such that it seasons your words. Amen. Bible talks about the fragrance of Christ. So the word of God has a perfume. It's not Estee Lauder. It has an aroma. You know, you say just enough. Your words have kindness. You know, your words are encouraging words. You know, you allow the Holy Spirit to help us, you know, to deal with that. Because until we deal with our hearts inside, we can't do this on the outside. Amen. But God is helping us in Jesus' name. So, brethren, you have to, and these are things that we can use to check yourself, indicate how well am I doing. You know, how am I progressing? Do you understand what I mean? You know, so that you can see how much is my speech with grace? Because, you know, your speech can be with grace in the morning. And by the afternoon, it's not with grace again. So it's there's a consistency. There's a discipline that is involved. Amen? In making sure that every time we stay connected to the Holy Spirit, and then we can tap into the wisdom of God. Because really, it's the Holy Spirit that tells us how we ought to answer every man. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that can tell us how we ought to answer every man. You can have an answer in your mind, but that answer may not be the answer that the Holy Spirit wants to tell that person. Look at Luke chapter 12. So you can see, Luke chapter 12, verse 11. And when they bring you, I can't hear you. And when they bring you, thank you for reading with me, unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall, and or what you shall say. Next verse. For thee, I can't hear you. For thee, is it, did he say your mind? No. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. So it is your connection, no intermittent prayer. It's your intermittent connection with the Holy Spirit, hour on the hour, that puts you in a place where you can even remember to say, Holy Spirit, oh yeah, let me keep going. Please tell me what to say. Otherwise, you just open your mouth. Bwah. How many times that happens? God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the fact that you're praying and watching, remember that our confidence is not in our prayer. Our confidence is not in our watching. Our confidence is in the fact that as we do those things, the Holy Spirit is nearby to help us, so that when we now need to acknowledge Him, we must acknowledge Him and allow, Holy Spirit, what do I say? So, you know, even notice when Jesus was asked questions, you know, he doesn't necessarily answer the question of the words the way it is framed. He answers the heart. So you must know how you ought to answer. For example, the woman that was caught in adultery. It was an open and shut case. This woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. What do you say? Say, Moses said we should stone her. What do you say? So, will you now go against Moses? Because we suspect that you're going to say we should not do it. That's what was in their minds. We suspect you're going to say we should not do it because you're always preaching mercy, mercy, mercy. This one was a sinner caught in the very act. Oh yeah, tell us what we are supposed to do. Jesus, Son of God. Did he answer? He kept quiet. He was writing on the ground. And as he wrote on the ground, what happened? God spoke to him and said, forget about stoning her. Don't come at it from that angle. Because there's nothing to say there. Come on, the people that are doing the stoning, the one that doesn't have anything, let him be the first to throw the stone. That's masterclass, Holy Spirit. Amen. That's Holy Spirit. Amen. So many times, sometimes the devil sets trap for us through people, and sometimes people set traps for us. And you must know how to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So you have to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praying in the Spirit, staying in the Word, and then you acknowledge Him so that He will be able to give us what we ought to say in that situation. Verse 7. Say, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Look at this man's credentials. Wow. Amen. A trusted companion. He was a person that Apostle Paul sent to churches to go and encourage them, tell them how he is doing, and then find out how they are doing and meet them at the point of their need. So really, in a sense, he's an apostle. He was an apostle. That's why he calls him fellow servant, faithful minister, beloved brother. What I want to bring out here, brethren, that the Holy Spirit told me, is that this man had Paul's spirit. And Paul was confident in the Holy Spirit in him. So Paul was one tenant. These are his credentials. May God have credentials like this about you in Jesus' name. Amen. That whatever work you're doing, you are a beloved brother. They can see the love of God in your character, in your conduct. Amen. You are a faithful minister. You're not seeking your own. You are seeking the interest of the kingdom. And that you are a fellow servant. You know, this may not make much. It doesn't look very attractive to the world. But when rewards are going to be given, these credentials are going to matter. Amen. So what are we saying? You know, oversight, you know, have the ability to see who you really are. No, and the idea is this, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, which is, you can see this for this church. For the what? For the perfected of the... It means that if you don't stay close to spiritual fathers, you will not be perfected to the degree that you should. So if you stay away, you know what? You have a standard of your own. But the question is, what is God saying about you? Brethren, that's what I see from here. That you need to be close. You need to be close. And you're only as close as you want to be. Their bowels are enlarged. They are open to all of us. Amen. All right. So of course it's in coming close. Yeah, the Bible says that no, where there is no ox, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Brethren, if you stay away, the crib will be clean, because the ox always poo-poos everywhere it goes. But the ox is strong. Is a typology of the apostolic ministry. You know, there are some things that will not move until the ox is on your side. So you have to come to the ox and take that is a correction, is the way of life. Is the way of life. You are not going to get anywhere. If you don't want to be corrected, you are going to be living in a world of make believe. You are the one, you'll just be scoring yourself. Whether you miss it or whether you got it right or wrong, you are the examiner, you are the invigilator, you are the person writing the exam, you are all in all. How is that possible? Thank you, ma'am. He says what? Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. What are you doing with the instruction? Is extremely important, because brethren, these are the things that end up giving us good credentials in the sight of God. Remember what I credit the Son of God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what God is looking for. So, brethren, it's important to understand who God says you are, is an important thing. Through godly oversight, they see you the way God does. So respond in faith when you are corrected. Bible says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be what? Excellent oil. You know that you put on your head will be oily, adorned. Forget about your emotions. They will tell you a different story. But remember that on your head, their instruction and their correction will put an ornament of grace round about your head and about your neck. Amen? It's very important that we understand that, okay? So God, they're not seeking your popularity. They are not seeking your approval. They are seeking Christ in you so that you can become a vessel of honor. That's what they are seeking. They are interested in the interest of the kingdom. And they are not looking out for how many of you are for. No. They are not interested in all that. You know, they are interested in Christ in you. Growing up and becoming who God wants you to be. And Tychicus got to a place where Apostle Paul was able to send him. Sent him to Ephesus. Sent him to Colossae. And I guess he sent him to some other churches as well. And go and talk to them. And spoke with him confidence that I'm sending him to you. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. Next verse. Colossians chapter 4, next verse. Verse 8. Whom I have sent to you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your heart. So he was a minister in his own right. Amen. Next verse. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Team ministry. Paul and Silas, Tychicus and Onesimus. Send them out in twos. Two is better than one. I know we always say it when it comes to marriage. But when it comes to ministry, two is better than one. That's what he's saying here. Because, you know, if one shall overcome him, two shall withstand him. All right? So he sent them out in twos. And you can see from here that if you understand the Bible, Onesimus is being described here by Paul as a faithful and beloved brother. So Onesimus is in training under Tychicus. Tychicus was faithful minister. Okay, so this is just a faithful brother. So, but they are together. See, and that's what God does. God always, always works through a team, because a team is stronger than an individual. That's true. And then Onesimus wasn't always profitable. If you know the book of Philemon, he stole at the beginning when he was with Philemon. You know, he stole and he ran away. But when he was arrested by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's what God has done to you too. I'm not saying you stole, but you have been arrested. God has arrested you. Say, I'm arrested. Amen. God has arrested you under the covering of his house. Because under covering, a person is arrested. You know, it is the covering of God that has the power to produce godly change in lives by the release of divine nourishment and the exercise of divine discipline. That's how covering, you know, it exercises divine discipline and then it releases love and nourishment, and the two together separate the sinner from his sin. It is a complex spiritual operation that only fathers can do. That's why you have many instructors, but you have few fathers. It is the fathers that are that quality of ministry is able to produce God. Look at Isaiah 32, verse 1 to 4, as we begin to round up. Amen. Isaiah 32, verse 1 to 4. Thank you. It says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness as perfection and maturity, and princes shall rule in judgment as perfection and developing maturity. And a man, singular. You need to understand there are people in the body of Christ that have this. It's not about the size of the church. In the body of Christ, God has set some. Okay, and they have this characteristic. He says, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, protection. A covert from the tempest, protection. As rivers of water in a dry place, nourishment. Supplementing nourishment. And as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, comfort that comes through nourishment. Amen. Next verse. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. Blind eyes are open under covering. That's what he's saying. And the ears of them that hear shall hearken. If you choose to hear, brethren, if you choose to hear, Bible says, if any man will do his will, he will know. If you choose to hear, you will hearken. It means that if you align your will correctly, then the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And your eyes will begin to see. So you ask yourself, am I seeing? Am I hearing? Next verse. The heart also of the rash shall what? Understand knowledge. And the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. Your speech will change under covering. It will change. The question is, how close are you to the covering? The fact that you're in the church doesn't necessarily mean that you're under covering. It is our attitude to those in authority and our obedience to instruction that determines how much of the covering is flowing in our lives. And that now determines how effective you are in your workplace, how effective you are in your home, the impact you're having everywhere. Relationship with covering is everything. It's not everything, but it's the majority of it. You know, that's why we that scripture about the strength of the ox. There's some things you need the strength of the ox to push out of the way. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I trust that God will help us. So we see here, as we begin to round up now, that, next verse, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Okay? And Aristarchus was a Thessalonian that was with Paul. He was with Paul, you know, when they set out on those missionary journeys. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received, if he come unto you, receive him. This is another person that was transformed. Remember that in Acts 15, this same John Mark, you call him Marcus here, but it's the same John Mark that caused a division between Paul and Barnabas. Bible says the contention was so sharp that they went their separate ways. Then Paul chose Silas. Okay? And then Barnabas went away with Mark. The same Mark after came back to the same Paul. See, it's not personal, you know. When oversight are firm and hard, I say, no, it's not personal. It was the interest of the kingdom. You are not dependent. Bible says confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth. You're already crying, you want to go home. What will happen if we face opposition there? Stay back. And Barnabas wanted to pick him along, so he said, no, you're not going. But later, when he came back, the same John Mark, under covering, became profitable to the ministry. That same John Mark, he says, and sister's son, says, if he come unto you, receive him. The same Paul is now He's guaranteeing John Mark and saying that receive him if he comes to you. You know, so it means that, brethren, we see Onesimus and John Mark as two witnesses of the fact that no covering changes lives. Amen. And we see here also there that no, those two, Onesimus and Tychicus, were to teach the Colossians according to what was being done in Rome. He said, they will show you all that we are doing in verse 9. That's what he said. Now, the point I want to bring out is this. Jesus is the pattern son. Paul was the pattern disciple. So, what was taking place in Colossae, in Ephesus, was the same thing. He was sending these ministers to go around and make sure that they were taught the same thing. They were taught the same way because we want to get the same result. So there's consistency here in the ministry. So humility must be consistent. Emphasis on humility. Only praying with all types of prayer must be consistent. Having the whole counsel of God must be consistent. No, discipline must be consistent. Spiritual excellence must be consistent. There is no make we manage jam. To borrow a leaf. There is no make we manage jam. There is no mediocrity. This is the same standard. Do you understand? That's the meaning of ministry. Where you look at the people and the result is the same. Consistency of result. Because the pattern is the same. And this is what God is saying, brethren. You know, and it's interesting to note that, Aristarchus was actually in prison with Paul. It tells you that when you follow the pattern, sometimes you will suffer. In fact, without suffering, you won't enter into the spirit without measure. That's just the truth, because it's the pattern, it's the path. Amen. No, Bible says the sufferings of this world cannot be accounted to the glory that shall be revealed. But the point I want to bring out is this. When you follow the pattern, it will make you share in the suffering. But you must keep your eyes on the end. It says of Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he did what? Endure the cross. He despised the shame. So he set his eyes on the joy. Don't keep your eyes on the suffering. Keep your eyes on the glory. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 3 as we close. Philippians 3, verse 10. Give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. For my determined purpose. This is the purpose. Remember last week, Mamu shared with us in Psalm 73. David was envying the wicked until he went into the sanctuary and saw their end. It's about the end. See this word saying. For my determined purpose, that's the end, is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. That's your portion and my portion. Amen. And that I may in some way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share. You're not going to the suffering alone. You are going to suffering with the power. He's remembered. You are going in with the power. The power is there. It's not that I may so share the suffering, or as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope. Next verse. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Talking about the resurrection of the mortal body, so your body can now carry the fullness of God. Amen. So suffering is a route, is a road, is a path. The destination is glory. And brethren, we should keep our eyes on the glory. Spirit without measure, incredible photographic memory, the mind of Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, we meditate on those things, think about them. So after a while, like Paul, when Agabus came and told Paul, he said, they're going to tie this man, they're going to imprison this man that owns this when he gets to Rome. People are saying, don't go. Say, what mean ye to break my heart? I'm going. He saw the glory. It's the glory that motivates brethren. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. Repent. Our lives must speak. Our speech must be gracious, seasoned with salt. A personal prayer, concentrated prayer, intermittent prayer. Learning to pray more, more, and grow in prayer. Begin to do the work of the ministry in the place of prayer. Walking wisely with the unbelievers. Keep your eyes on the purpose. Purpose is to be a godly influence. And follow the purpose through. In our relationship with oversight, to take correction, and to be found faithful and loyal. Keep our eyes on the glory. We see your glory.
We see your glory. We see your glory now manifest.
Raise up our right hand in faith. It's a sign that we need God. Put our left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that my life must be a written epistle that men around me can read. Heavenly Father, I ask you to give me a spirit of humility, of reverence, so I walk in reverence to spiritual authority and natural authority. Help me to walk in diligence in the place of prayer and in the word, so that I will hide your word deep in my heart, and so that your word will control my heart, it will control my tongue, and the fragrance of Christ will be evident in my speech. Help me, Lord, to grow in the place of prayer, from personal prayer to begin to pray for the ministry and for my fathers, for my nation, for the nations of the world, and I will grow in the place of intercession, causing your will to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Help me, Father, to be faithful, so I will have a good report of you, from you, through my fathers, concerning my walk with you. Father, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to triumph in this season over challenges and situations, so that your glory will be my reward. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rabakadata, Jekaramanta, Rabambela, Radea, Radeo, Bikalaya, Radea, Salea, Rabaya, Baro, Bakanamantan de Benedoba, Ringada de Batumba, Jeka Kombaria Kanga, Repokobeka, Robacato, Zese, Kedodomon, Ronelebe, Bata, Jeffrey K. Kudemama, Rundi Pippin. In Jesus' name, amen.